This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
Well, praise the Lord. I think I'm on. Am I? There I am. Hey, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Such a pleasure to be here. I was honored when Pastor Keith asked me to share a big boy sermon. I forgot my water, sweetheart. You have me my water. I'm going to need it. Well, I feel a little bit like a wiener in a steakhouse this morning. maybe at least be a Kogel, right? But, Pastor Stocker, Pastor Keith, take this pulpit. And the good news is I'm not here to impress you. I'm just here to do my best to represent the Lord and leave you with what he put on my heart to do. So I'll be all right. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So today's message is choose joy. Choose joy. You can see some things on here. Life is filled with stress, anxiety, worry. It can cause depression. Man, I want to choose joy. What about you?
Amen.
I said, I want to choose joy. What about you?
Amen.
All right. You know, I tell you, I'm a little bit like the cross-eyed discus thrower. I may not be very good, but I keep the crowd moving. So here we go. I ran across this quote when I was when the Lord impressed upon me to speak about joy. I ran across this quote I really like. Joy does not simply happen to us. We must choose joy. We have to choose it. We have to choose it. My scripture today is John 15:9-11. Let's read it together. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Here we go now. That my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. How many want to have God's joy in you? How many want it to be full? Raise your other hand. I want it to be full. I want it to be full. I believe that. In the New Living Translation, verse 11 says, I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And we're so honored to have been at this incredible place to raise our family, Lord, and to give our hearts and our lives. And we've been so blessed to be at Christian Celebration Center. But I pray today, Lord, that you would help me to leave these people that I love with something from your heart. Take me way past my ability. Lord, we pray that your incredible anointing would rest upon us today, that the anointing to bring change to lives, to hearts and minds would be miraculous. Lord, as we were worshiping you this morning, I said to you, Lord, this is a miracle atmosphere. And then they sang the song. We believe in you for miracles today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I choose joy. Look at the person beside you and say, choose joy.
Choose joy.
Come on, say, choose joy. Tell somebody.
Choose joy.
I love joy. I choose joy, and I want my joy to overflow. Kind of like this. Now, you knew I wasn't going to be totally straight up here, right? All right. So Galatians 5:22, we all know this scripture, or at least we know of it. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the next one is what?
Joy.
And then there's peace and patience and kindness. You know, it goes on and on. All those things are good things. Somebody say good things.
Amen.
They're good things. I want those things in my life, and I believe that we can have them. But we have to choose to do so. That's where we're at today. Choosing joy. You know, you're used to me when I'm here saying, hey, what's the big idea? Well, today the big idea is choose joy. All right? When you go home, if your grandmother asks you what was happening at church today, you're going to say, choose joy. Okay? Here we go. 1 Peter 1:6-8 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Wonderful joy ahead. However, it goes on to say this, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Yeah. Yeah, that's it, yeah, right? We're going to have trials in this life, unfortunately. But it goes on to say, these trials will show that your faith is genuine, that it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong, hold on now, through many trials, this is the good part, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. All right? You trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, what's that? Inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I love that verse. I love that verse. So even though, I think I'm off my slides here, so hang on just a minute. I'm off a lot of things, right? But anyway, no, I'm good. All right, back to my thing. You know, I want inexpressible joy. I want it. I believe we can have it. Matter of fact, I try to live my life that way. And hopefully you have picked up on that, right? If not, I don't know what else I could do. That's legal. All right, so even though, now listen, we know we can have joy. Sometimes all these trials come, and it's easy to focus on those things. It's really easy to focus on what's wrong. I have a friend who is not here, and he, as far as I know, he doesn't serve the Lord. And I was talking to him last week, and he said, you know, you had this gift to make people feel better about themselves. And I said, you know, man, all that is, I appreciate that, but all that is I see what's good and I tell you about it. And that brings me joy. And we can bring other people joy that same way. So if we let our trials, if we focus on trials and problems, the result will be a loss of joy. Because there's nobody that doesn't have them. You might say, well, Pastor Kelly, your life seems so great. I'm sure you don't even have any problems, you know. I mean, you got this wonderful family. You got this son who is an incredible man of God. And you've probably never had a worry or a trial in your life. That's just simply not true, right? Right? How many of you guys ever had a really hard problem in your life? Yeah. I don't see anybody didn't lift their hand. Maybe the babies in the nursery are going, hey! You know, anyway. So just a little backstory, and I'm not going to talk about anything recent because we all have problems, but these are far enough back that my wife will allow me to share them. She's a lot more private than I am, and I want to honor that. Do you know, I grew up in a home where, some of you know, my parents got divorced when I was just a little boy. I was 7 when they got divorced, and it was really a difficult time. I went to counseling over this issue, talking about robbing your joy. There was a lack of finances at our house. Very tough, a single mom trying to work, and she had health issues of her own. My mom, being the person that she is, would walk to work so I could drive the car to school. That's a lot of love, right? She would. She'd walk. I remember it because I couldn't afford a car. And as I began to work, I wanted to play baseball. I wasn't the greatest, but I was better than some of those dudes that made the team. Just saying. Anyway, I wanted to play baseball, Pastor Keith, but it was like, you're going to play baseball or are you going to work and have a few things? So I chose to work. And I remember saving my money so much and trying to help my mom, but saving my money to buy a car, a used car. And I got a Datsun 310. Now I'm aging myself right here. Yeah. A Datsun 310 with a louver on the back, baby. John Rule, I saw that smile. So anyway, it was sweet. And I could talk about it, some really funny stuff, but I won't. But I remember the day that Datsun 310 had a problem. And I had put everything I had, bud, into buying this car. My grandmother actually helped me a little. And, you know, at that time, Datsun was very new, and so everybody didn't work on them. So I went to the place, and the struts were bad. Now, you got to remember, this was at least 15 years ago. I learned a few things from Pastor Leon, all right? All right. Anyway, the bill was going to be like $750. Now, that might as well have been $7,500. You know, I remember, you're talking about stress, anxiety, and worry. It hit me like a brick. I had no way. I didn't know what I was going to do. I worried. I stewed. I fretted. I basically made myself sick worrying about what I was going to do. And the cool thing is, you know what? I don't even remember what happened, but I remember I got new struts on that car. I remember the Lord took care of it. How many of you guys ever had something that happened in your life? You don't really remember how it shook out, but you remember God took care of it. See that? See that? It's kind of what we're talking. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I want to tell you a couple more, and I'm going to move on. But, you know, I used to do entertainment. I did clown shows. I did magic shows and kind of combined them. I did a lot of things like that. And I was on my way. I had a big break. I was going to work at a mall about 2 hours away. And that was pretty big for a kid from a 12,000-member town. And I remember driving, Pastor Keith. I mean, I was driving there, and I had done lots of entertainment at this point. But I was just getting so sick, worrying about messing this up. I mean, I remember just, I was literally sweating, and my stomach was starting to hurt. And it's all that, what if, what if, what if, what if, Jacob, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. I was getting sick. I thought, I'm not even going to make it to this place. And if I get there, I can't set up. I'm going to have to stay in the bathroom. And then even if I get out of there, what am I going to, it was crazy. It was, anxiety is exactly what it was. Fear of failure. And, you know, I never had anyone teach me this at that time, but the Holy Spirit is a really good teacher. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, make a list of what would happen if this whole thing falls apart and it's the worst thing you ever did. So here's the list. I might be a little embarrassed or a lot embarrassed. They might not invite me back, but I'd still get paid. So I was thinking to myself, I can live with this. If the whole thing falls apart, I can live with this. Move on. Come on, somebody say move on. And I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I got to tell you the coolest thing that ever happened in my whole magic career. I hate to use that word because some people, I don't want you to take offense at that. Everything I do is an illusion, all right? But I remember I had these two doves, white Java doves, and you know, normally when I would get somewhere before I'd get there, I'd get them out and let them exercise a little bit because, hello, they have the gift of flight. You keep them in a box, you know, so I would always get them out and let them fly some, and I didn't have time because I had been too busy worrying, you know, and stopping at the bathroom, so I didn't have time. So I get them out. They appear. I'm on stage, full stage, curtain, you know, there's probably a couple hundred people out there. Boom, they appear, and they take off. And the people are applauding. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, how am I going to get those things back down? It's like, you know, a mall. It's a high roof. Check this out. You think God doesn't love me? Check this out. These doves, Pastor Bill, they go straight out over the heads of the people. And they go, whoa. And they make a circle. One goes this way. One goes this way. They come all the way back around behind the curtain cam and land on my table. I'm just saying. The people are going, whoa, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, now I come from a long line of worriers. My mother and my grandmother, they're advanced worriers, and I mean that in every way you could take that. They'll start worrying about things 3 years from today, just so they got it covered. So, I mean, like, seriously, my mom and grandmother both, my grandmother had a lot of trouble because she worried so much. It'd make you sick. It'd hurt your body. My mom is manic depressant and bipolar. And a lot of that is from worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and stewing about things. So I want to tell you one last one. I asked permission to tell you this because it really drives it home. So Tracy and I had been married quite a while, and her dad had passed away with ALS, and he had always wanted to take the family to Disney, but he owned his own milk distributorship and couldn't do that, didn't have time really to do that. And so he had it in his will before he died that he wanted Tracy's mom to take us all, and we went. And you guys know where Disney's at, right? You know where that's at, right? Disney World. It's in a certain, we wouldn't say the name after this. We just call it the F word. You know, you wouldn't say it. Not that kind, but we would just say, you know that F word that we don't say as a family, that place that we don't talk about. That sounded really bad. I didn't mean like that. It was the word Florida, by the way, just so you're wondering. We just said, we don't talk about that F word around here. because it was so bad. Tracy had a tubal pregnancy and almost died. So bad that when we got to the hospital, I didn't sign one piece of paper. They didn't do anything. They took one look at her. They threw her on a gurney. And they took her straight to the back. And they did emergency surgery. And I remember laying in that bed that night thinking, I came this close to laying in a bed by myself for a long time. This close. Now, I'm telling you that because ministry is not always easy. I went into ministry. I'd always had great insurance my whole life because I worked. But I went into ministry. I didn't have any. I made a whopping $180 a week, and I couldn't afford it. And about 3 or 4 weeks prior to that, I had went to the board and asked for some insurance, and they said they couldn't do it. So you could choose to be bitter when I owed 9 doctors and a hospital. You could choose to be bitter, right? When you think you're going to have to claim bankruptcy. I walked around for 3 days after it was all over and we're home, not knowing what to do, going back to the stress, anxiety, worry, depression. I worried over it. I'm going somewhere, so please hang with us. There's not just stories. I was just miserable. I was sick. I was ineffective. My family, everything. I was just gone. What am I going to do? Huge weight over my head. And then I remember the Holy Spirit is a good teacher. Sometimes I don't learn the first time. What about you? About the third day of this misery, the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, if creditors come and take half of everything you own, would you still be blessed? Would you still be more blessed than 2/3 of the entire world? Think you could live without some of that stuff? And I thought, I could. I could live without all of it and not go around like this for 3 days, right? It takes a process to choose joy. It's a process. It doesn't happen easy. It's a process. Somebody say it's a process. So here are a few things I've learned through some of the trials I told you about. Now, I've had lots since then. But the first one is this. The Bible says don't worry, that each day has enough worry of its own. It also says that you can't add one cubit to your stature. Otherwise, I'd have been worrying a lot. So I learned not to worry. I mean, really, I've learned not to sit around and worry about things. Now, I say that. Tomorrow I may have that same test over. But I've learned not to sit around. I've learned to adjust. Something bad happens to you, you got a choice to make. Are you going to sit around and worry and fret and stress and drive yourself to depression, or are you just going to adjust? I could adjust to half of what I got. Could you? Could you? Yeah, you could. Absolutely. I've learned that the Bible says that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. And you know what? He means it. He means it. I have found out that he really means that. He didn't just say it. He means it. I have found out that God indeed has a plan. And it's to prosper us and not to harm us. Do you trust him? That's what I'm asking today. Do you trust him? Because, you know, what I've learned, but it came to me just the other day. God really gave us some pretty simple, easy-to-understand instructions. Here they are. Might want to write this down. Trust and obey. Pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Kind of hard to do sometimes, but very easy. We trust and obey. That's what our job is, trust and obey. So, after all, think of this. What has your best thinking ever gotten you, really? Your very best plan can't begin to match God's plan, right? Instead of worrying, hey, pray Psalms 51:12. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Oh, he has a generous spirit. How many of you guys felt his generous spirit this morning? Whew. Philippians 4:8 again says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
Yeah. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. I love that.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Yeah, see that? I find myself thanking God throughout the day. I find myself singing. Pastor Liam, he knows I love music. I have a song in my heart. There was an old hymn when I was a young man. We used to sing, I have a song that Jesus gave me. Hallelujah. Come on. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. What is the rest of it, you guys? It's a melody of love. In my heart, there rings a melody. I used to sing that to Melody Campbell all the time. She didn't appreciate it much. The Bible also says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want you to remember this right here. He's the master of the wind and waves. Not you, not me. He's the master. Nehemiah 8:10 says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is it any wonder the devil wants to steal your joy? Is it any wonder that he wants to come and rob you of your strength by stealing your joy? I, for one, have decided to trust. Amen? I decided to trust God. Check this out. I love this scripture. I found this. Let me tell you where it's at. 1 Peter 6:8. Because I choose to trust him. Everybody say choose. I can have glorious, inexpressible joy. Now, you've heard that before. You're going to hear it again. Because I have found out with kids, you got to have repetition, and you guys are just big kids. Psalms 40:4 says, oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord. Do you see a theme here? Do you see a theme? I want you to know something. I choose joy over depression. I choose joy over worry. I choose joy over anxiety and stress. I choose joy over strife. Look at the person right next to you and say, hey, I choose joy. Come on, tell them right now. Say it again. I choose joy. Remember this. Philippians 4:8 says, finally. You know, when somebody says finally, it's like that's pretty important, right? Like, hey, the last thing is, remember this. Listen up. Here it is. Last thing. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So I want to choose to live a life of gratitude. I want to have an attitude of gratitude. How many of you guys like to be around somebody who has an attitude of gratitude? Yeah, I feel like the Lord does too, right? We've got a lot to be grateful for. Again, Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. It's about trust. And because I choose to trust him, you guys know the rest. I can have glorious, inexpressible joy. And guess what? You can too. God's plan is joy. If you trust and obey, you're going to have joy. The issue is, how far are you willing to trust? That's the big deal. I mean, really, it is. It's easy to talk about it. It can be hard to do, right? It can be hard to do. Like, what about Abraham and Isaac? Think about that. That's some trust. That's trust that I have no concept of. And I'm thankful that I don't, right? But I wish I could have seen. It don't mention in the Bible the joy when he came down that mountain. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Parents, can you imagine the joy walking down that mountain when God had answered? Wow. I would love to have been there, Pastor Keith. I'd love to have seen that. How many of you guys think there was probably some glorious, inexpressible joy coming down that mountain, having trusted the Lord? You know, there's an example that I want to give you. I read this recently in the Special Forces stuff that we used to teach the kids. But so there's a way that they train these guard dogs for high-level jobs. So some of these dogs sell between $200,000 and $350,000 for these guard dogs. Because why? You can't buy off a guard dog. A guard dog is loyal to his master, right? So they're worth an incredible amount of money. But only certain ones ever pass the test. You know what the test is? They take this dog, whatever kind that it is, and they barely feed it, just barely feed it for 3 days. So that dog is not starving, because that'd be detrimental, but close to. And on that third day, at the end of their training, they lay a steak right in front of them. Most dogs don't make it. The majority don't make it. The ones who do are worth $350,000. And do you know what the secret is? Look at these two dogs. The ones who pass the test and go on to be worth 350 grand are the ones that keep their eye on the master. That's the ones. You notice, one dog ain't going to make it. You know what? I don't know if you guys have ever been to Lucky's with Pastor Leon, but it's kind of like that right there. Woo! Sorry. Kind of. Now, you can't keep your eyes on the obstacle, on the problem, on the trial, because you won't make it. It's bigger than you are. Man, if you can keep your eyes on the master, come on, somebody. Who can testify what I'm talking about right now? You keep your eye on the master. You know, there's a family here I was looking for, and they're probably serving this morning, who set the greatest example I've ever seen of keeping their eye on the master when their baby didn't make it. I've never seen an example like theirs. They kept their eye on the master. Was that hard? Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine. But they look to me like they're making it pretty well. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was a kid, when I first started, I should say, in children's ministry, which I was pretty much a kid, there was this slogan that we used. It was called Joy, J-O-Y, but it was Jesus, others, and you. That's pretty much the way it is. That's pretty much the way it is. I want to talk to you today. The first thing I want to talk to you about, I've been talking a lot, I know, is the joy of being. The joy of being. You know what? There is joy in being in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, let me say that again because that wasn't a very good amen. I said there is joy in being in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, if you don't have joy, you know what? You might want to check your love level because there is joy in being in love with Him. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou will show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." There's joy in being a child of God. There is joy in being called according to His purpose. There is joy in being filled with His Spirit. There's joy in being a pastor. There's joy in being called by God to do something and being equipped to do it and being an encourager. There's joy in that. There's joy in being a friend. There's joy in being a father. There's joy in being a husband. What has God made you to be? Because there's joy in that. There's joy in it. There's joy in being what God has called you to be. Joy will be found there. Choose joy. Everybody say, choose joy. Choose joy. All right. The second thing I want to say is there's a joy in doing. And I have spent my whole life trying to show people that there is joy in doing. Psalms 102 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Notice that word, serve. We use that word a lot around here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 48 says, "I take joy in doing your will, my God. For your instructions are written on my heart." There is joy. I want you to know there is joy in living for God. There is joy in teaching a class. There is joy in training young people for godliness. There is joy in worshiping God. Amen? There is joy in making the difference in the life of someone. There is joy in being used to bring someone to Jesus. There's joy in spending time with the King of Kings without an appointment. Think about that. That's joyful. They were showing that video. Man, tons of joy looking over those videos. There's joy in helping to write the love of God on the wet cement of some little kid's heart. Being a partner with a parent to solidify those things. There's great joy there. I want to tell you something. If you don't ever remember anything else that I have ever taught or done, please remember this. I promise you this. You will never be fulfilled and as joyful in Christ as He intended for you to be until you are busy doing something for Him. It's true. Now, you might not be in the right spot, and that might not be the case, but God has a spot for you, a place for you to be used, and it will bring you joy. When you leave, you will know that you have been partners with God. It will bring you great joy. Experience the joy of spending your life on something that outlives it. It's incredible. All right, the third one, the last one of this is the joy of knowing. There is joy in knowing God's word because He has some promises for us. There is joy in knowing that I'm the apple of God's eye. Yeah. Hey, there is joy in knowing that there's nothing too hard for God. There's joy in knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's a joy in knowing that heaven is prepared for me, that I am never going to be alone. There's joy in knowing that His strength is made perfect when I'm weak. There is joy in knowing that He will never leave me or forsake me. There's joy in knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is joy in knowing the old song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. That He has a great plan for my life. That I can have peace. There is joy in knowing that though storms raged and weeping may last through the night, the Bible says that joy comes in the morning. Amen? Hey, I want joy. Everybody say, choose joy.
Choose joy.
I'm almost finished. That'll be even more joyous. It brings me great joy to know that the Word says this, and Pastor Keith alluded to it earlier, to those who believed, He gave the power to be the sons and daughters of God. Hey, people are attracted to joy. They are. Religious people don't really like joy much. I've made people mad. God sent me to the right place, Christian Celebration Center. You know, religious people, they don't like joy. At best, it makes them nervous. They don't like it. But I want to have joy. I believe people are attracted. I think Jesus is misrepresented on movies and stuff because he always go around, you know, he's real solemn and stoic, and he might smile once in a while. Can I tell you something? That's not right. You know how I know that's not right? Because the little kids would come to him, and no little kid would go up to somebody who looks like that. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. People are attracted to joy. Solomon wrote about the medicinal properties of laughter when he said, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 17:22. Hey, there's a song, and I wanted to break it out for you, but it was going to be a long day. There's a song, I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. And I have an old song from Times Square Church, man. They kill it. It's awesome. I do. I get joy when I think about it. We should sit back and think about what God has done for us. We should do it often. Right? We got to choose joy. So you say, hey, we got to choose joy. I hear you. We have to choose joy. Well, how do we do some of that? Well, let me give you some ideas, some things that I feel like are necessary if you're going to choose joy. The first one is you got to pursue a deeper understanding of who He is. A revelation of who God is. You got to search for Him. You got to search for Him. When I go to camps and I'm talking to kids about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I talk about the difference between looking and searching, right? There's a big difference. Looking is what men do in the closet. I can't find that. It's not in here. Where's my blue shirt? Searching is what your wife does. Here it is. Right? Yeah, don't you hate that? I do. I just wear a different shirt then. All right, so we gotta pursue a deeper understanding. Psalms 40 and 16 says, but may all who search for You be filled with joy and gladness in You. May those who love Your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. Psalm 16:11, again, it says, in Your presence is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, Psalms 43:4, I love this verse. I just found this. I had never noticed it before for some reason until I was working on this. Psalms 43:4 says, I will go to the altar to God, the source of all my joy. If you need joy, it's available right down here or at home at the couch, right? Amen. Wherever your altar is. The second one is, if you want joy, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 10:21 says this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what You were pleased to do. Do you see that? Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Jesus had joy. He did. We've got to trust and obey. That's the third one. We've got to trust and obey. Like I said before, Jesus said, I have told you to obey My Father's commands so that your joy may be full. So that your joy may be full. How many of you guys want your joy to be full? Me too. We got to trust and obey him. We got to trust and obey him. Well, we're coming to the end, but I want to tell you something, something I discovered. We got to remember that there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Amen. Big difference. Someone said it better than I ever could. They're much more educated than I. But happiness only occurs 26 times in the Bible and usually refers to a transitory emotional experience. However, joy is an abiding sense of exuberance that springs up from our soul, and it occurs 323 times throughout the Scriptures. Come on, that's right. Give the Lord a hand. Joy can be found in every situation regardless of our outward circumstance. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord and say again, rejoice. You know, today is a bit of a sad day. It's my last day as pastor on this staff with people that I love and friends that I'm so close to, young people who I consider them like my own children. But that ain't going to stop me from having joy. It's not going to stop me, not for a second. I have joy of being a child of the Most High God. And everything else that trumps, right? Right? I have joy, the joy of knowing that I'm going to be doing what I believe God called me to do. And the joy of knowing, again, who holds tomorrow. And the joy of knowing who holds onto my hand every day. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Lord, I've just done my very best today to share my heart with people that I love, realizing, God, that your love for them is so much greater. And I pray that today, Lord, that your word, that your anointing would rest upon them. God, those that are having struggles, Lord, those who need a change of mindset, Lord, those that may just need to tweak a thing here or a thing there, they can have joy. I pray, God, that you would bless us today as we get ready to call people to a response to this message. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you for your incredible presence here. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I thought a lot about this today. And Pastor Lynn, if you'd come, I appreciate that. If you're here this morning, and the first thing is, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you don't even have an understanding up to this point of the incredible joy that we're speaking about, the joy of being absolutely forgiven, unconditionally met, accepted, and washed, then that's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. If you're here this morning, first and foremost, and you've never run headlong into this thing of, that we're talking about, this peace and joy and forgiveness that Jesus Christ has provided for us, we would just love the opportunity to pray for you. I promise that I would never embarrass you because that's not what this is about. But if you're here this morning, you'd lift your hand and you'd say, you know what? I want to accept Jesus. I need this joy. I need this peace. I need all these things that I know that Jesus offers. If you're here this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. I need those things. I'm not at this point connected with Jesus. Yes, I see that hand. The way that I want to be. The way that I need to be. I mean, I see that one right there. We're going to pray in just a minute, sweetheart. And if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm really struggling with stress or anxiety or worry. It's really, you know what, my life is filled with way too much of that, and I need joy. I need to be able to choose it. I need to be able to trust him more. I need to obey his word. I need to know what he says. I just need him to help me. I want to choose joy today, but I've been struggling. But you lift your hand. You say, that's me. You know, I need to choose joy. I need to hear what his word says, and I need to learn to trust him more and obey him more and receive this joy that you spoke of. Yes, we see those hands today. Amen. Finally, the last one. If you're here this morning, you'd say, you know what? I really have a strong desire to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need that power that is promised in the Word of God. And up to this point, I've not received it. But I want to today. Would you just lift your hand? That's a sign of God. Listen, I am searching. Yeah, I'm going after more of you. Yeah, the Lord sees those hands. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone, if you would, please stand. And to the lady who I have the absolute pleasure to pray prayer of salvation with today, please make sure you connect with someone in this church. Let them know what you've done. They would love the opportunity to try to help you along in your spiritual journey. Let's pray together, can we? Lord, we love you this morning, and I thank you, first of all, for this young lady who has lifted her hand to accept you, God. And so we pray, Lord, God, that you would forgive us, all of us, once again. God, forgive us of our sin. Lord, anything known or unknown, we ask for your forgiveness. God, our heart's desire is to honor you, to accept your love, to accept your forgiveness, your peace, your joy, your patience, your kindness. Lord, I thank you, we thank you, that you would give your life in our place, that we could be forgiven and experience inexpressible joy. And I pray, God, for this lady as she has given her heart to you, has asked for your forgiveness, Lord, and as we have believed together that you have died for us, that you would fill her with joy as she continues on this path to know you more and more. Thank you for your incredible forgiveness, this gift of forgiveness. Lord, I pray for those this morning who raised their hand, who are struggling with stress or anxiety or even depression, worry. God, I just pray for them right now. Lord, we all know what that feels like. But God, you said trust and obey. Get close to you and trust and obey. The only way that we can trust you is to know you deeper. The only way we can obey you is to have confidence in you. So God, I pray for my friends. Lord, help them, oh God. Help them, oh Lord, to change their way of thinking. Help them, oh God, to get into the word that we've spoken today, the words of God, the words that carry anointing, and they carry the power to break off those chains. And Lord, I pray that they would choose joy. In your name, oh God. And then finally, God, those who lifted their hand, Lord, they say they've asked you, God, to fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. God, I pray that today would be their day. That they, even at tonight, they're at home in their bed, they would be filled to overflowing. God, you are the baptizer. And your word says that you love to give good gifts to those that ask. So we thank you for it right now. We're going to agree together in your name, Lord. For those that are hungry, make them more hungry, Lord. Let them realize, God, that they can trust you, that you would never trick them. That your word says if a father asked for bread, that you would in no way give them a stone. You wouldn't give them a serpent, but you would give them what they asked for. So God, I pray that these people would be filled to overflowing with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let it be today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith.
I'd like to ask Tracy and Jacob to come join Kelly up here in the front. If you could come right here in the middle, and then I'd like to invite the children to come in. These amazing kids that have been ministered to by Pastor Kelly and Tracy and Jacob. Would you come here in the middle? And often, as you know, we send off missionaries and we send off ministers as they're going wherever God leads them. And so the children are coming now just to gather around you guys. And in a moment, all of us will have an opportunity to pray as we send off the presence into all that God has for them in the future. These awesome kids. Wow. Kids, I want you to know that God has blessed all of you to know people like the Prestons. And he has blessed you in such a way that they have poured into you and loved you and cared for you. And not to be the main disciple in your life, the main person that points you to Jesus, that's your parents. But to be those that come alongside them in order to help equip you to know Jesus. And God's going to continue to provide people in your lives. They're going to be difference makers. But we want this opportunity. So why don't you all, if you're facing all these cool people, why don't you all join, kind of make a circle around Pastor Kelly and Tracy and Jacob. Can you do that? Put a hand on their shoulder if you can reach, or maybe on one of the kids. And would you all extend a hand as we prepare to send off the presence? And Rosie Campbell, one of the children in Power Plant,
yes,
is going to lead us in prayer. And let's join our faith with her as we pray over them. Go ahead, Rosie.
Dear God, I thank you for Pastor Kelly and everything that he has done here at CCC. And I thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given him. And I pray for safe travels to Missouri. And I pray that you will give him wisdom for his new position and give him the strength to train pastors. And I also pray for Tracy at her new job and Jacob at his new school. And I thank you that he will make a bigger impact over there than he made here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Rosie, and thank you all of you kids for coming and praying for this awesome children's pastor and his family. And we're going to let the kids head on back to the power plant room, the student center, just because we want to do checkout in the safest and securest way possible for all the families. And so they're going to head out on back, and we'll dismiss here in just a moment. Wow, what a crew. Oh my goodness. We love you, kids. Well, as they make their way back there, I just want to let you know that next Sunday, I plan to start a new series called The Seven, and this has been on my heart for a really long time to bring a series to you from the book of Revelations. We'll start in chapter 1 and be going through chapter 3, and we'll be talking about the letters that Jesus gave to seven churches, seven letters to seven churches, and it's going to be called The Seven, and it's all about what is Jesus saying to you. And I'm really, really excited about that, so let's have our hearts prepared. You can even be reading in there the first few chapters of Revelation as we prepare for next Sunday. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for supporting the Pressons. We love these people so much. They're going to be on the road soon. We want to be praying for them for safe travels. Continue to hold them up in prayer as they impact people all over the nation. And they're going to be launching into that right away. So God bless. Let's choose joy. Don't forget to pick up your kids. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next steps, visit our website at cccmidland.com.